You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. No. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid Show.
Radio.
But Mother, it is the best music of the day. How will I fit in with my classmates if I am not hep to the jive?
Hep your jive some other time. You're waking up Godzilla.
Godzilla? The sleeping monster in Tokyo Bay who wakes up now and then and stomps downtown Tokyo to the ground?
That's the one.
Why does he always go for that part of the city?
No one's ever been able to figure that out yet.
And what's he doing here in Portsmouth?
No, it's too late. You've awakened him.
Look, he's setting for the mall of everything you could ever possibly think of buying.
Run away, run away. He's pulling the shops apart one by one.
Maybe he's looking for some scale freshener. He's probably all slimy from being in the water so much.
Or maybe he's looking for a giant toothbrush to get rid of all that fishy smell on his breath.
Look, he's eating the TV crew from Channel 9.
They must be doing an internal investigative report.
But look again, he keeps pausing at the shoe stores.
What can this mean?
Mother, in all the years you've seen Godzilla, has he ever had any shoes on?
No, I don't think so. You mean...
Yes, somehow he must be trying to fit in with his classmates.
By wearing shoes.
He's holding on to a pair of sandals.
He looks sad.
What can we do? Do 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 do.
And so they gathered all their friends, turned up the music, and began making the largest, coolest pair of summer footgear they could. Just to make certain they fit, the kids placed the right shoe on top of their junior high school.
Oops!
And the left shoe on top of the local high school.
Wait, put that shoe on top of that loud radio station you listen to.
But Mom...
Just do it. I know what I'm talking about.
Not only did the shoes fit, but with the juice of the radio station surging through his body, Godzilla boogied his way back into the water. Downtown Portsmouth was saved!
Hooray!
Well, we better start working on a wardrobe for him. How about some nice Hawaiian shirts?
Aw, Mom.
That was Looking for Godzilla's Sandals, performed by students in New Hampshire.
One sunny day, Leo da Vinci was in his room painting.
Leo!
What?
Lunch is on the table!
I'm busy!
Since when are you too busy to eat?
I gotta finish this painting for school tomorrow.
Fine, I'll leave your sandwich on the table. I gotta go to the market.
Leo dabs a bit of paint here and a bit of paint there, and the next thing you know, the painting rips apart right in the middle, and out pops this big giant head.
Oh my gosh, a big giant head!
Hey, don't get so personal. Feelings could get hurt.
Sorry.
That's better. Now, have you seen my son anywhere?
What's he look like?
Me. Only younger.
That's a big help.
Leo's mom has returned with her arms filled with groceries.
Leo, come and... Ah!
She faints dead away.
Oh no, I'll have to get some smelling salts to wake her up.
Leo rushes out the door and runs smack into his neighbor.
Whoa, what's all the fuss about?
My mom's fainted dead away. I need some smelling salts.
I'll go get my feather duster.
The neighbor runs down the block and runs smack into a lawyer.
Whoa, what's all the fuss about?
Leo's mom has fainted dead away. He's getting some smelling salts. I'm getting my feather duster.
I'll start the depositions.
The lawyer runs down the block and runs smack into a dentist.
Whoa, what's all the fuss about?
Leo's mom's fainted dead away. He's getting some smelling salts. The neighbor's getting a feather duster. I'm starting the depositions.
I'll find the water pick.
The dentist runs down the block and runs smack into a tractor.
Whoa, what's all the fuss about?
Leo's mom has fainted dead away.
He's getting some smelling salts.
The neighbor's getting a feather duster.
The lawyer's starting the depositions.
I'm finding a water pick.
I'll plow the fields.
The tractor drives down the block and runs smack into a tree.
Well, what's all the fuss about?
Leo's mom has fainted dead away. He's getting some smelling salts. The neighbor's getting a feather duster. The lawyer's starting the depositions. The dentist is finding a water pick. I'm plowing the fields.
I'll just stay here. Thank you.
All of a sudden, a box fell from the tree and landed right in front of the postal worker on break on the other side of its trunk.
Oh, William, look at that. A box with a letter attached. And it's addressed to Leo da Vinci from some guy named Michelangelo. Guess I'd better deliver it to him.
The postal worker finishes break and then goes to Leo's house.
Mrs. da Vinci, got a box and a letter for your son.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd ask you for a cup of espresso, but my groceries are everywhere and Leo is not to be found.
Just then, the tractor pulls up carrying Leo, the neighbor, the lawyer, and the dentist.
I've got the smelling salts.
I've got my feather duster.
I've got the depositions.
I've got a water pick.
I've plowed the fields.
Well, Mrs. da Vinci didn't have any idea what they were talking about, so she handed Leo his box and went back to sorting the groceries. Leo went to his room and opened the letter.
Let's see now. Contents to be given to the big giant head.
Oh, good. I see you found my son.
Leo opened the box and out popped a smaller head that actually did look like the big giant head, only younger. Both heads quickly disappeared into the rip in the canvas.
Mom, I need a favor.
What now?
Can you come and salt my canvas?
No, I'm too busy cooking.
But Mom...
Do it yourself, or this will be the last supper you get out of me for a while.
The last supper?
That was Leo Gets a Letter, performed by elementary students at the Lincoln Street Elementary in Exeter, New Hampshire. And now, everyone, it's...
Time for Cows!
From France, in Texas. Today we're talking about the Charolais.
Here we are in Texas, and standing next to me is a Charolais, a white cow that originated in west central and southeastern France.
Bonjour, that is correct. We stayed pretty much in one area until the French Revolution, except for that one time.
Which time was that?
The time when a herd of us was taken to the Nivrat province, and we were called the Nivmes.
Is this going to be like one of those La Boheme things?
Pardon?
One of those La Boheme things, you know, where the character sings an aria saying that they call her Mimi, but her name is really Lucia?
What are you talking about?
You are a Charolais cow, right?
That's what I said. Yes, a Charolais.
Because I don't want our listeners to get confused. Now the Charolais are white in color.
Mais oui, we are white. I, myself, am a creamy white. So much nicer to the eye. And we have long bodies, and we are also good milkers.
So you're originally from France, but you came into the United States via Mexico. Why is that?
It's closer.
Ah.
Yes, it is definitely most closer. Haven't you ever looked at a map? You look at the map, and there you have France, and there you have the United States. And there you see all this blue water in between.
Yes, but...
And when you look at the United States and Mexico, what do you see? You see a very, very thin blue or black line in between. It's closer. Mexico is definitely closer to the United States than France. It's a silly question.
Excuse me?
Your question. It's a silly question. And cows don't swim that well. We have hooves for standing, not flippers for splashing about in the ocean. You have silly questions. Why did you become a reporter?
Because I like finding answers.
You're silly. Even your answers are questions. I'm a Charolais cow. Our impact on the North American beef industry was huge. Look it up.
Okay.
Now go away. I have some aggressive grazing to do before it gets chilly.
Okay. Bye now.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
About 1,000 or so years ago, three sisters were watching their cows on a hill, and they spied a king hunting with his two ministers. The eldest sister pointed to the king and cried out to her sisters.
Oh, that one, that one! If I do not marry him, I shall have none.
The middle sister then pointed to the minister on the king's right and cried out,
oh, that one, that one. If I do not marry him, I shall have none.
Then the youngest sister pointed to the minister on the king's left and cried out,
oh, that one, that one. If I do not marry him, I shall have none.
When the king returned from the hunt, he sent for the sisters. All three girls were beautiful, especially the eldest sister, who had hair the color of flax, which is a very light pale blonde.
What did you three call out to each other on the mountain the other day?
The sisters played coy with the king.
Nothing, Your Majesty.
You are the eldest. Will you really take me for your husband?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty. And so the eldest sister married the king, and she became queen, and the other two sisters married the two ministers. A few years passed, and while the king was away, the queen gave birth to a little boy. Her sisters, however, had no children, and because of this, were very jealous.
We shall throw that little prince into the river.
When they threw the baby into the water, a little bird flew up and sang,
to thy death art thou sped, until God's word be said. In the white lily bloom, brave boy, is thy tomb.
The king later returned, and the two sisters told him that the queen had given birth to a dog.
If God makes a dog, then that is what God has made. All is well.
Meanwhile, a fisherman found the little prince in the water, and he was not dead. So he took the baby home with him. The fisherman and his wife had no children, and they were more than happy to raise the little prince as their own. A year later, the king again went away, and the queen gave birth to another little boy. The jealous sisters also threw this second baby into the water. A second little bird flew up and sang,
To thy death art thou sped, until God's word be said. In the white lily bloom, brave boy, is thy tomb.
When the king returned, the two sisters told him again that the queen had given birth to a dog.
If God makes a dog, then that is what God has made. All is well.
Meanwhile, the same fisherman found the second little prince in the water, just like the baby the year before, and the fisherman also took this baby home with him to rear. A year later, the king again went away, and the queen gave birth to a little girl. And once more, the jealous sisters threw the baby into the water. A third little bird flew up and sang,
to thy death art thou sped, until God's word be said. In the white lily bloom, bonny bird, is thy tomb.
This time when the king returned, the two sisters told him that the queen had given birth to a cat.
All is not well. The queen must be cast into prison.
And so the queen sat in prison for many long years. Now the little princess was also recovered from the water by the same fisherman. And so all three royal siblings grew up together. One day, the eldest of the three tried to go fishing with some other boys, but they shooed him away.
Go away! We want nothing to do with the foundling!
The eldest then learned that a foundling is a found child and asked the now old fisherman if he really was one. The old fisherman told him that it was true. He was a foundling.
Then I shall go forth and seek my father.
The old fisherman did not want him to go, but he couldn't dissuade the boy, and so the eldest prince set out on his search. After many days of walking, the young prince came upon a river with an old woman fishing from its shore.
Good day to you.
And to you.
With so fast a moving river, you will fish a long time before catching anything.
And you will search a long time before finding your father. How will you get across the river?
I have no idea.
So the old woman picked him up and carried him across the river, and he continued his search without success. A year later, the second prince arrived at the river in search of his brother.
Good day to you.
And to you.
With so fast a moving river, you will fish a long time before catching anything.
And you will search a long time before finding your brother. How will you get across the river?
I have no idea.
So the old woman picked him up and carried him across the river. And the second prince continued his search without success. Now with both her brothers gone, the young princess was very sad. Finally, the old fisherman let her go forth to seek them. She also arrived at the river with the old woman fishing.
Good day to you.
And to you.
May God help you with your fishing.
Her kind words pleased the old woman. And after she carried the princess across the river, the old woman gave the princess a wand and directions.
Follow this road. Eventually, you will find a great black dog, and you must pass it in silence and with courage. Do not laugh or look at the dog.
The princess nodded, and the old woman continued.
Then you will come to a great castle. Before entering the front gate, drop the wand from your hand, and then walk straight through the castle and out the other side to a garden. There you will find an old fountain with a tree growing in its center. Hanging from a branch of that tree, you will find a little bird in the cage. Take down this cage and also fill one of your flasks with water from the fountain.
Take both of these with you and go back through the castle the way you came until you find the wand. Speak with no one either way.
The princess nodded, and the old woman continued.
Pick up the wand, and now with all three things, journey back to the black dog. With the wand, strike the dog on the face. Be certain you hit him, and then come back to me.
The princess left and did everything the old woman told her to do. As she was near the black dog, the princess found her two lost brothers sitting on the side of the road. Together, they went to the black dog, and she struck it on the face with the wand.
Oh my, the black dog has turned into a handsome prince.
The black dog prince then joined the royal siblings, and the four of them went back to the river to find the old woman and thank her.
Oh, this is wonderful! I shall carry you all back across the river, and then I shall be free!
The four of them then returned to the old fisherman and his wife. Everyone was happy except the bird, which was still in its cage that had been hung on the wall. Sometime later, the young prince was bored and decided to go hunting, whereupon he ran into the king.
Who gave you permission to hunt here?
No one, sir.
Whose son are you?
The old fisherman and his wife.
The old fisherman and his wife, you say? Why, they have no children.
If you do not believe me, then come home with me.
And the king did just that. The old fisherman told the king everything he knew about the situation. Then the little bird in the cage began to sing.
The mother sits alone. They're in the prison small. O king of royal blood, these are thy children all. These sisters twain are false. They rot the children woe there in the waters deep, where fishermen come and go.
The king then took the bird from the wall, and everyone went to the castle. The queen was freed from her prison, but the years inside had made her weak and ill. The princess fetched the water she had saved from the fountain and gave it to her mother. After drinking it, the queen's strength and health returned. The two false sisters were burnt at the stake, and the princess married the black dog prince.
That was the story, The Three Little Birds, from the Cranky Kids series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
Caterpillar Cop, Chapter 1, The Io Moth Dilemma.
Attention all insects, there's an Io Moth caterpillar on the loose. Attention all insects, an Io Moth caterpillar is on the loose.
Oh no, what can we do? Do you all know what happens when Io Moth caterpillars get defensive?
No.
They secrete an irritating substance. This is horrible, we need some help.
It is I, Caterpillar Cop. When the larva get loathsome and unlawful, who are you gonna call?
Caterpillar Cop!
Right. Now let's go find this Io Moth caterpillar.
Ha ha ha! They'll never stop me before cocooning. Now who is this coming towards me with such well-developed thoracic legs?
Excuse me, but you look a little lost.
Oh, I'm not lost, honey. I'm lonely.
Really? And why is that?
Because of my sharp spines and my ability to really irritate due to secretions from my glands.
Have you ever considered a bath?
Look, friends, I've already molted 5 times. What more do you want from me?
To turn yourself in, of course.
Why? Who are you?
Caterpillar Cop.
What's the charge?
Pupating in public.
Thank goodness you've come.
I'm sorry. I would have been here sooner, but the wood gnats were having a festival and the traffic was terrible.
They have me segregated from the other prisoners because they're afraid I might molt again. And the way I'm feeling, I just might.
Don't worry. I've gotten you a good lawyer. He's a slug caterpillar, and you know how they can drag things out during trial if things aren't going their way. The judges hate that.
Why?
Usually some of the spider bailiffs start eating each other.
Can I afford this defense?
Don't worry. We have a deal. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay anything.
And if I win?
What I promise is something you won't be needing anymore.
Your Honor, this isn't fair. My client didn't have one strand of silk coming out of her spinnerets when she was picked up.
Sit down, sit down. The Io Moth caterpillar will have her say. I want to hear from Caterpillar Cop first.
Thank you, Your Honor. This caterpillar was threatening the general welfare of the community by brazenly leaving the silk factory with the intent to pupate in public.
Such activity would draw much attention from the humans, and the factory would be in jeopardy of being found. What say you, Io?
Your Honor, Mark Lyon.
Sit down, slug caterpillar. If you bristle too much, your stinging hairs might harm someone in court. Speak to me, Io.
But I wasn't going to cocoon and pupate in public. It was selfishness, Your Honor. I wanted some fun food and a little excitement before cocooning. I was trying to get to that new joint that everyone's talking about, the Lepidopter Lounge.
The Lepidopter Lounge? Hey, I hear that place really swings. Great greens, too.
Your Honor, she's playing on the sympathy of the court.
Now, Caterpillar Cop, you know as well as I do that Io Moths don't feed once they finish pupation and become adults.
Yes, Your Honor, but really...
Your Honor, I know what I did was wrong and foolish. And after eating the stale leaves in the jailhouse and molting in a cold cell, I'm ready to return to the warmth and safety of the silk factory to begin cocooning.
Very well. No sense in keeping a larva from pupating for too long, especially one with spines. Spider bailiffs, carefully escort the prisoner back to where she belongs, and don't make her nervous. We don't need another molt to clean up after. Next case.
Well, it's a good thing the judge listened to her.
And why is that?
Because now I'll be able to collect on my fee.
And this from a caterpillar with no pro legs. Listen, slug caterpillar, how do you expect to get to the factory in time to collect anything? She's due to cocoon at any moment, and you move like a slug.
Her silken cocoon is my fee. When she's done pupating and sheds it, it'll be mine to add to my collection of giant silkworm moth cocoons. So you see, I'm in no hurry.
That's why they call you slug. When the larva get loathsome and unlawful, who are you gonna call?
Caterpillar Cop.
That was Caterpillar Cop, Chapter 1, The Io Moth Dilemma, a series where insects take the stage, or in this case, the courtroom. This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids radio show. More information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K, crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.